And we're going to continue with this, and we have something planned for you. A lot of good music, special music from a special person. Not that you're not special, Charlie.
I don't feel it.
It is Easter morning, the resurrection morning. In John, I love this, the love gospel. Early Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. She said, "They have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb. I do not know where they have put him." Peter and the other disciple ran to the tomb to see. The other disciple outran Peter and got there first. I suppose John was much more agile than Peter at that point. So when Peter stooped and looking in and saw the linen cloth lying there, but he didn't go in. Excuse me, that was John. Then Simon Peter arrived and went inside directly. He also noticed the linen wrappings lying there, while the cloth that had covered Jesus' head was folded up and lying to the side. Think about that for a second. I suppose that what John saw and Peter saw is beside, much like the table before me here, is the shrouds were in a pile. They were just dropped. Just as you would, most guys at least, would just take off their gym clothes and what have you and then just drop them in a pile on the floor. Supposedly, according to the scripture, that's where the shrouds were. But it also says, that beside, neatly folded, was the linen cloth that they used to put on. They would put on the face of the person in the tomb after they had put on oils and perfumes, and they laid that cloth there. Not much different than this one. And it was neatly folded and it was placed by the side. It was noticed, but it was not understood at that point. In Luke, the Gospel of Luke, it says that Peter, confused, I'm sure, departed and went home to think on the things that had happened in that day, what he had seen. Because you see, none of the disciples at this point, even though the two Marys came back and told, along with other women, came back and told the disciples what had happened that day, that morning. The shrouds lay undisturbed at the foot, with the face covering, shroud neatly covered. How many of you know the story of why we do that ourselves? When we eat, we have a napkin. If we fold that napkin, if we get up, for instance, to go to the restroom or whatever, we fold the napkin, we neatly put it in our chair or by the side of our plate. As long as it's folded, the waiter, a waitress, or the attendant will not take your plate away because you're not finished. But when you're finished, you take you wipe your face and your hands and you discard the napkin, usually at the side of the plate or into the plate. And that lets them know that you are done. But the example that Peter did not know yet was that the folded linen covering said that while his earthly work was finished, he was coming back. He was not done. Later, Peter thinks on things. And let me read what he says. Out of his bewilderment, if you remember, he could not even figure out what was going on, but out of his bewilderment, He goes home and he thinks. And remember what Christ promised? He promised the Spirit would abide with them. I think when I read this, you'll agree with me that Peter definitely found the Holy Spirit. Because it's not at all like at the beginning of the tomb when he runs in and he can't make sense of it. Listen to him now in 1 Peter. All honor to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For it is by his boundless mercy that God has given us privilege of being born again. Now we live with a wonderful expectation because Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. For God has reserved a priceless inheritance for his children. It is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay, beyond the reach of the things of this world, folks. And God, in his mighty power, will protect you until you receive this salvation because you are trusting him. It will be revealed on the last day for all to see. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though it is necessary for you to endure many trials for a while. These trials are only to test your faith, to show that it is strong and pure. It is being tested as fire tests purifies gold, and your faith is far more precious to God than mere gold. So if your faith remains strong after being tried by fiery trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world, on the second coming. Trials. That day, Peter was in the midst of an amazing trial. It wouldn't be much different because, see, he did not understand the resurrection, nor did anyone else. Even angels told the ladies, "Why do you seek him here? He is not here with the dead. He is resurrected like he said he would be." But they still could not fathom what that meant. But Peter came to an understanding that his Savior truly was resurrected. And out of that resurrection and that faith, Peter could write about the honor he has for a father who gave such a sacrifice that he might live eternally. So I don't know about you, but I believe that what Peter found out and what many of us have found out is that God, our Father in heaven, through the Holy Spirit, his eye is on the details of our lives. Listen to the song and claim him this very day.
Froa Ostern, or Happy Easter. It's so wonderful to be back here on this glorious day. Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart feel lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, a constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches over me. His eye is on the sparrow, and and I know he watches over me. He watches over me. Sing because I'm happy, and I sing because I'm pleased. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches over me.
Wasn't that beautiful?
Amen.
I love to see people who simply place their faith into action. Action. This morning, so many faces here. I saw Lisa on Friday. She walked in just surprised and just, you know, and just, boy, and I know I wanted to see here. I wanted to be here when old Bob walked in and saw Lisa over like that and just see the smiles on the faces and how. Tom, where did you come from anyway?
Hawaii.
Oh, Tom, all the way from Hawaii. Must be pretty nice. I better preach good. That's all I can say. All the way, we got folks from Germany. We got folks from Hawaii. I tell you, Miss Christie, I tell you, just Desiree, just tell them all how much we love them, how much we miss them, how much that you just brought a smile to our hearts when you walked in today. Let me see. Lily actually wanted to prove to us she has friends. So who are your friends now? Don't shake your head at me. It's Easter morning. It's Easter morning. Come on, wave at me. Wave at me here. Yeah, yeah. Come on, let's see. I just see people all over the place. Kathy was so happy today. She says, my family's coming to church. My family's coming to church. And brother, you look very intent this morning. You got that chin ready to go here. He is ready. He is ready. Oh, my goodness. How many years ago has it been now since that marriage took place? How come you looked at her? I asked you the question directly. See my eyes, your eyes? See? I asked you. So glad to have you here and just the whole family. Valerie, just the whole family here, all the children. You'll hear some noises like that, and I'll tell you one thing, amen for it, because I love to hear noises in church. Good to see Jason back there. Good to see my family back there. I just looked around when I saw Lori and John, the kids come in. I looked, where's Paul? Paul's not here today, and they still came, so I'm just tickled about that. I am glad to be in God's house with God's people, celebrating a risen Savior. Amen? Amen. This is what it is all about. Did y'all take the walk outside? Good. Did y'all do any clipping, little care, you know, clean up around any? No. Was it a wonderful walk out today? Who all went there? Wave your hand if you went out to the cemetery. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Beautiful day for it, wasn't it? Yeah. On Friday, when we talked about the funeral, we were thinking about Martha, and we talked a little bit about how we just had Easter coming up in a couple of days, and what a wonderful, glorious celebration it will be for us. But how much more wondrous and glorious the Easter that Martha is enjoying today with her Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, Luke 24. They came unto that tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And they entered in and found not the body of Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Angels. How many of you believe in angels? Come on, wave at me. You believe in angels? I'm looking at some of you. Better believe in angels. I tell you that. Just come on. I know where some of you have been. You better believe in angels. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, those angels, they said unto them, and this is where it gets just real good, says, why seek ye the living among the dead? Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Heavenly Father, just ask a special blessing under the reading of your word today. We ask this in Jesus' precious name, all God's people. Amen, amen. Today we celebrate Easter. Don't worry, I'm not going to keep you late. I told them it's Easter. We got to do things properly. We got to get you out here on time. I know people have dinners. They have things to go to. But I'll tell you one thing. You just got to take a little time and bask in the goodness of God. You got to take a little time and just feel His Holy Spirit, because we have His Holy Spirit in our midst. When two or more are gathered together in His name, He promises us that He will be in the midst. And I have felt Him this morning, and I hope that you have too. When you look up and you see faces over these children, you know, people says, do you believe in God? I said, yes, I do. Says, well, why do you believe in God? It's because I know without a shadow of a doubt, down the deepest part of my heart, I know that there is somebody far greater than I could ever be. When I look and I see the simple smiles of these young, innocent children's faces, I believe in a most powerful God. When I get up this morning and I see a wonderful sunshine, sun rising up. How many people saw sunrise this morning? Those of you awake, you might have fallen asleep if you got up this morning. I did. I didn't mean to. I didn't want to get up that early this morning. Told myself I was going to sleep in. I couldn't do it. You know, I was a kid when Christmas came. I got to go down there and find what's in that present. I just got to do it. I got to do it. And this morning, that sun was so beautiful. Rising up in the eastern sky. How beautiful. And I thought about that morning, about how excited they must have been. What's going on here? Has somebody come and moved this stone away? Has somebody taken the remains of our beloved Savior, our Jesus? Then to find out that great news from those angels, saying that, why are you looking for the living among the dead? Because we serve a risen Savior. Amen. Amen. Church is a very unique thing. The more I'm around churches, I think the less I understand them. It's very odd when you kind of try to do your best and prepare and practice. You try to figure it out. You try to make decisions in your mind. And then when you get around church and you get around God's people, God just takes over and He does things. And I don't understand it. And I don't think that I will ever understand it. And I will be so happy. I will be so happy that I serve a God who doesn't just print it out for me to read it and check it off. No, He has to live within my heart. I have to have that faith without a shadow of a doubt that He lives, He lives, He lives. Lisa's up here already to lead that song. And I looked at it, I said, ooh, Lisa's a couple notes up there. I think I might lead this one because it's a high one up there. And you get up to the end, and boy, you sing those high notes, and then turn on red, and little blood veins get going. Well, I'll tell you one thing. It feels good when I am able to shout out and tell my Savior that I believe that He lives. He lives. He lives. Churches, we have a job to do. I believe it. I believe that we have more responsibility now than we have ever had. Because I think there are things out there that people have struggled with. There are questions that they have in their minds and their hearts. And they are looking for an answer. And I think that answer is found right here. right within these words that we open, right within these words that we read and we place within our minds, within our hearts. I believe everything that is written within this word and how it applies to me and my life. Do I do it all right? No. Do I make mistakes? Don't all of you say amen at one time. Just some things keep to yourself. But I know that the truth is found within this word. Because this word in itself is a living thing. It is something that has the power to change lives and continue. And I see it over and over again, how people are simply moved to do things that I thought that they could simply never do under the power of God. Friday during the funeral, and I know it was difficult because when you say goodbye to a dear saint of God who'd been struggling with cancer for 10 years. And I know that you have been in situations and places where you've either had a friend or a family member who struggled with that same dreaded disease, and how, boy, the body is just, there's hardly anything left. But as I spoke on Friday, and what I used for my theme was simply what Martha had said. Charlie, I don't have anything left. I have nothing left except for my friends, my family, and my faith. And that has stuck with me. It just keeps going over and over and over, and I keep trying to change, you know. You get that little tune in your head. Come on, you've done that. We'll sing a little tune. It gets in your head, and you say, I wish I could just get something else in my head other than that little. You know how it is sometimes? You get, But this is a good thing, because I believe that God loves us as a family. I believe that the friends that He allows us to come in contact with, just doesn't happen by chance. God has a purpose in everything He does. Everyone that you come into contact with, and I believe it's all about our faith. It's all about our belief in what God did on a cross so many years ago. And I think this message that we bring, it has to be brought with sincerity. It has to be brought with kindness. And it has to be brought with a sense of humbleness. You don't know how it is to stand in front of you on an Easter morning. You feel so sometimes inadequate, you know. You go, wow, people are looking. They're hanging on every word. What should I say, God? I think this message needs to be brought forth in a kind of a spirit of humbleness, realizing that I am simply a sinner saved by grace. The great Vince Lombardi, coach of the who? Just see if you're awake. Got to take care of my football section back there. Yeah, that's right. That's why, you know. Don's awake. He talked about experience one time that he had that taught him humbleness. In a restaurant. There was a young man walked towards him, and he's preparing to eat his meal, and so quickly reached over and grabbed a napkin and signed it. And as the young man got just toward him, he kind of handed him this napkin and kind of murmuring under his breath about how kind of be nice if he could just have a meal in peace, you know. And the young man says, excuse me, I don't need a napkin, but if I could borrow your ketchup, I'd appreciate it. He said, you know, change things for me. We have a gift that God has given us, but we have the responsibility to share this gift with others. In just a moment, we're going to come forth and we're going to serve communion. It's a very simple thing. We take a small wafer, which represents the body that was broken upon this cross. We're going to break and we're going to eat together. We're going to take a small cup of juice that represents the blood that was shed. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And all those things might not mean too much to you, but this is the part that should mean something to you. Over 2,000 years ago, Jesus, when he got together with those closest around him, and he knew within just a few hours that he was going to leave this earth. He said, "Fellas, take this bread and we'll break it, because this represents my body. Take this glass, this cup of wine, it represents the blood that will be shed. And this do ye as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup. You will show the Lord's death till he comes." It's wonderful on Easter. It's wonderful to see you folks out there just looking as beautiful as you are. Some of you got new clothes on. You got new suits. You may have a little purple dress on. And it's beautiful. I got my new suit on. I wore this suit for one reason today. This is a suit that I wore, brand new, went down and served communion to Martha the last time. I like this suit. Terry, I'm going to tell you a secret about the suit. I bought the suit with the pants about two inches too big. And the reason I did that, because I've been going for the gym over a year and I've only gained a few pounds. So if you see me occasionally kind of hike these pants up, you'll go in your mind, you'll go, "Well, maybe he's losing weight. He keeps them pants look big, maybe." My friend, that's nothing more than appearance. That's all it is. This thing that we're going to do, it's real. It is real what my God did for me. It is real that they walked out to that tomb. It is real that that tomb was empty. It is real that I serve a risen Savior. And only my faith in Him allows me to have eternal life. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we have come into your house. We have sung praises unto your name. We've shared together, God. We've had smiles. We've had laughter. God, you brought a tear to our eye. But God, now is our time to say thank you to you for what you did for us. So right now, we simply ask you to bless this wafer, to bless this cup of juice. Allow us to be so thankful within our hearts for what you did for us so many years ago. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.